cliffcentral.com.
Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
The man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man, that man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man, that man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-G-G-Man, that man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
Hello, hello, hello. What's up? It's your boy G-Man the Ad Man, and we're back at it. You could have been listening to Whose Show Is It Anyway with Somizi and her friend, but you are not. You are here with me. So, man, G-Man the Ad Man, and we're talking advertising once again. It's been another beautiful week of adverts. There've been all kinds of adverts, both beautiful and questionable, but I mean that's the game, right? That's what we do. So huge shout out to you guys for hanging out with me today. Got a really, really dope show for you guys today. My guests have already arrived. I mean, it was touch and go for a second there, but they're here. we'll chat to them later. For those of you who've been in the advert game for about 5 minutes, I think you'll recognize that laugh that just happened in the background there. Yeah, he's here. He arrived. He came from another meeting, you know, we directed him. He's here. I even got him to take out his earphones. but he's here. Anyway, but let's chat about some of the stuff that's been happening, guys, in the past week or so. Guys, so that Ricky Rick thing, right? I mean, I know this advertising, this show is about advertising and branding and all that. But we can almost always find a way to bring all these conversations back to the game of advertising and branding. So Ricky Rick drops this thing that he's left Mabala Noise, you know, and they're gonna take his money, you know, because obviously, you know, like the speculation is that, you know, did he read the contract when he said he was walking away? You know what I mean? I think this just goes back to some of the conversations that I know that advertising creatives, in fact, just advertising people find themselves in as well. You know, sometimes, you know, like you go, you're in an agency and they say, okay, cool, we're gonna send you to Ken, or we're gonna send you to the Ludis, just sign this piece of paper here. and then you sign this piece of paper, and then a month later, because at the Ludis someone walked up to you and said, yo, bro, how's it going there, bro? Come chat to us. Thank you on a lot, you know, have a chat. And then you have a chat, and then all of a sudden you want to move to Cape Town now. And then you forgot that you signed a piece of paper that said that before you move, because they're taking you to Cannes, we must stay there for a year. Now you're in a mess. You know, now you must. You know what I mean? So like, I feel like advertising and it draws parallels to a lot of these things. And I hope you are not gonna Ricky yourself. You know, when you think that you are in an agency that you want to be in, and then you realize that maybe you don't want to be there and you want to go, but you have a contract. And then you must return the Amabala Noise now, because you have a contract. So that's interesting stuff that's been happening. I read on Mark Lives' website. Shout out to Mr. Herman Messina of Mark Lives. What's going on? That's right. That Native VML won the Vaseline digital account. So shout out to the homies at Native win the Vaseline account. It's amazing. For me, this feels like that time when, you know, this past week or so, there's been the stuff on Facebook of people talking about the vinegar advert, where people are saying, I'm going to die not having seen an advert for vinegar. Now, things like that sell themselves, we'd all like to think, you know, and we'd also like to think that, like, you don't have to convince black people to buy Vaseline, you know, but somebody has just won the Vaseline digital account. So I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that develops, especially on digital. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of go Vaseline, digital, Yeah, it's going to be exciting. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see what you guys get up to on that front. It's going to be dope. Shout out to everyone at Native VML. And you know, keep us posted. You know what I mean? And like I said, I've said this before, you know, G-Man the Airman, we enjoy a good goodie basket. You know what I mean? So once you guys land the account and once you guys have some stock, send us some things, you know. Let us get some products, some Vaseline, you know. Let's shine these hands, you know what I mean. But yeah, it's good to know that you guys have landed. That, yeah, elbows. elbows as well, and knees, and actually ankles. So then another important thing that's happened, I think, that I saw on the Maglives website once again is they've got this feature on the website, right, called the Big Q. And I know some of you guys might have received this in your inbox or seen this online or on social media, that Ahmed Tilly and Ivan Morocco have been the first two guys who have had responses to their Big Q for this month and the next couple of weeks, which is about transformation, right? And if you've been listening to the show, if you know anything about the show, even if you don't, you know that the transformation conversation is really, really important to us. It's something that pretty much, like, you know, it makes up most of what we talk about on the show, because we feel like it's something that we should talk about it enough so that we can actually accelerate the rate at which it happens. And I mean, you kind of have two different takes. Well, they're not different takes. They're the same take, but just handled slightly differently. I mean, Ivan's take, I mean, I urge you to go and read both, you know? But I mean, and both of them, you know, show friends of the show. So huge shout out to Mr. Ivan Morocco and Mr. Ahmed Tilly, huge friends of the show. And you know, you heard that clip, right? You heard that clip that Ahmed, I always play before the show and after the show with Ahmed, which says, fuck that. Article by Ahmed feels like it needs a fuck that sentence in there because his feelings about it stay exactly the same. Still as impassioned about how at the rate at which we should be going at this. And I urge you to go and read it. I won't do it justice if I go in and paraphrase. You know, get in there, read that stuff, because I think it's a very important conversation that doesn't have to wait for 2018, guys. You know what I mean? And I mean, we'll kind of chat about that with my guests as well at some point on the show. But yeah, huge shout out to those two stalwarts of the game for getting us out there and having us have the conversation. So it's dope. Yeah, so yeah, I mean, I told you guys before that I felt like these monologues have just gone on for long and long and long. I mean, I think I listened to one of the podcasts and I think I went on for 25 minutes. You know, like, who talks for 25 minutes? But then I realized, you know, I can also run my mouth. So I've cut down on the running of my own mouth, and we're actually going to hang out with my guests right now. So, I mean, you know, guys, There are some places, there are agencies in South Africa that people refer to as, you know, like, you know, the ones that you heard about when you were in college, you know, like in my time, you know, in the early 2000s, a long time ago, you know, there were some agencies that were just synonymous with advertising, you know, and the guys I'm going to be chatting to right now come from what a lot of people might consider one of the universities of the game, you know. So some of the guys that you know and love right now who are running the game, who are running their mouth, who are running amok, come from this agency and built their careers there. Some of the best ads that you've seen, some of the ads that South Africa is famous for, have come from this great establishment. It's like I said, famous for a whole bunch of awesome people. And you know, it's the kind of place that you used to hear back in the day. And people used to say things like, you know, I'm willing to pay those people so I can work there. You know, and it's a reputation that they've held onto for a long time. And I know that, you know, it's still a name that is said in corridors of schools like AAA and Vega and all those places, and you still get like a, ooh, really, eh? Handlers Garis, right? So those are the guys that I'm hanging out with with me today. Two gentlemen that I've had the pleasure of chatting to before this, at different occasions. I mean, at the Luris, you know, that conversation that I told you about happens at the Luris. How's it, bro? How's it going? How's your agency going? You want to chat, huh? So you know what I mean? So I've had that conversation with these two guys before in their many different guises before. So I mean, let's meet these beautiful people in front of me. I'm gonna start right here on my right. So some of you might have known might know dude from St. David's all the way back to St. David's, and then I mean I remember I first met him when the Luris were at Sun City. Yeah, I mean, this is how long this guy's been doing this advertising thing, guys, and he's been on top of this thing. But I'm gonna let him tell you more about himself. But so welcome to the show, Mr. Karabo Dinalani. What's up, boy?
What's up, Grant? How are you?
I'm good, man. Yeah, good to finally have you on the show, Baba.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's been tough to get you in here. Yeah, we've been chasing you around for some time now. What's up? What's going on? Tell me what you're up to. What are you working on right now? What do we pull you out of today, right now?
Well, shit, man, a couple of things.
He starts by swearing. I mean, guys, at least we know what kind of show we're having today, you know?
Obviously, maybe to look back over the past 6 or 7 months.
Yeah.
We have been rebuilding the legendary agency.
Yeah.
As you mentioned earlier on.
Yeah.
As you know, the world is changing.
That's right.
The game is changing big time. So it's just like us having many conversations about how to, you know, position this thing. Is
That's
it an
right.
agency? Is it a communications agency? Yeah. Is it a collective?
That's right.
You know, what does it look like?
That's
so a lot of our time over the past 7 months has been trying to shape this thing.
That's dope, man.
And bringing new, interesting players on board.
I like that. I like where this conversation is going to go. I like that. Hold on to that thought when I Karabo. That's Mr. Karabo D, yo. That's how most of you guys name Karabo D. It's Karabo Dinalani, guys, you know. Come on, let's get it right. We're professionals here. We might be in the ed game, but we're professionals, okay? So on my left here is a guy that... I had the awesome pleasure of sometimes actually playing football with this guy. And if what he is like on the football field is anything to go by, this man knows how to run a ship. You know what I mean? I mean he knows how to issue out an instruction and expect it to be carried out in a certain way. He knows how to deliver and to ask of people to deliver as well. You know what I mean? But I also had the pleasure of having had chats with this man. In his previous guys, you know, many chats, even on the football field, about, yeah, bro, yeah, so, you know, how you feeling? I'll tell you how we're feeling and how we're doing, you know. But then, you know, subsequently, he has moved on to other things. But here with me right here is Mr. Julian Ribeiro. What's going on?
How's it, Grant?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Good to see you, man.
Yeah, so I've chased you on the football field. I've chased you at the Jolly Roger. I've chased you to join the agency. And now I'm in your studio, finally.
Shout out to the Jolly Roger. Facilitating conversations since 19 Mangma. Oh, great. Julian, man, good to have you on the show, finally, as well. I mean, if you guys don't know how long we've been trying to chase both these guys to get onto the show. How have you been, Julian? I mean, Karabo started alluding to, you know, kind of the conversations that have been happening. What have you been up to? I mean, are you part of these beautiful new venture conversations that Karabo's talking about?
Karabo and I share an office.
Oh, dope.
We've got an amazing...
Like a physical space. There's no wall.
No.
Guys, this is 2017, yeah? Yeah. Guys, before 2018, we would have fixed this transformation thing. Yeah? Sorry.
No, we've just got an amazing team around us. I mean, Pete, our partner.
Yeah, shout out Mr. Pete Khoury. What's going on?
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah.
Pete.
Yeah, yeah.
Cabello,
yeah,
oh, Jenny,
Mr.
Rui,
Shabalo. Yeah,
you know, and more. It's a fantastic bench, great leadership team.
Yeah,
we brought on board Elizabeth Lee Ming, head of digital and strategy.
Oh, dope.
So a lot of what Karabo was talking about is setting this vision for the agency.
Yeah.
And we pulled three units together, the digital, the shopper marketing and promotional agency, and Hunts, and created a new agency.
Oh, okay. So does this mean that you guys are going to go through like a name change now? I mean, can we expect like, you know, fireworks on top of Carlton Center and you guys are announcing that, you know what I mean? Yeah, we're a new like Hunts something, you know what I mean? Because normally when agencies do this kind of thing, it's like, yeah, we feel like we need to rebrand in order to give a new offering to, and you know what, to be honest with you, it's what a lot of agencies are going through.
Yeah.
And just don't talk about it. Are you guys gonna rebrand?
The working title internally is Hunts 2.0.
That's what's up.
But Hunts Ascaris is a great brand, and we're very happy with that. And I think our approach has been, you know, a lot of people shout from the rooftops long before they do stuff. They like to talk. I don't know. It's just not our style. And
yeah,
we want to get things done and look at the results. We can talk about the results.
That's right.
Rather than, you know, amplify and have parties.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, a good party's not a, I knew it. A good party's not a problem. But I mean, it's funny that we talk about like, you know, the Hunt's brand is a big and important thing. Karabo, I mean, do you think that like some of those hallmarks that made that name, you know, like because like, you know, the fact, like I said, I mean, a whole bunch of like great names have come through those doors. You know, how much of that are you going to hold on to, and how much of that are you going to be willing to like sacrifice in order to become 2.0?
Look, I mean, I think Julian comes from Hunt's. He worked there many, many years ago. So
Hunt's is old, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 1034
what
years.
What are you saying, bro? Shots fired.
I'm kidding, guys. Yeah.
It turned 34 years this year.
Cool. Wow.
And
wow.
It was quite shout cool out. Because in... Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah,
happy
man.
Birthday.
You shout out, yeah.
But it was quite cool in one of the presentations that we had to one of the clients. Pete made a showreel and it just showed some of the ads. I think the span was about 20 years or 15 years.
Wow.
But flip, man, you could just see, you know, the agency and the kind of work that it produced. It was like ahead of its time.
That's fantastic.
I mean, even if you showed some of the work today, you know, a lot of stuff would be relevant, would be entertaining, it would be right, you know?
Completely,
and it
had completely.
That, and it's got that creativity, like that just breeding all the way through it.
That's dope.
But back to your point, I mean, I think when we joined, we weren't told to bring back the glory days of the agency. You know, it was about like refind it. You know, they said we are the new refounders.
That's right.
Shape it and future-proof it, future-fit it.
Yeah.
For the next 20 years.
I mean, no pressure. I mean,
well, that's why we went there.
Yeah. I mean, to come after people like Mr. John Hunt and Reg Lascaris. I mean, it's huge pressure. Are they still around? Are they still kind of operational? And are they still the stages that you go to?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And that's we feel blessed that we have that knowledge and learning. And it's not about what do you leave behind and what do you take with you. It's about taking the best and infusing it into what we create.
Absolutely.
So it's great to have that.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, Karabo talks about all the ads that through the times. There's also that one that is in everyone from that era's portfolio. You know what I mean? Because no one knows who did it. The mouse on the steering wheel.
Yeah, that's my ad.
Yeah, I see. Everyone has that ad in the portfolio. You know when we shot that thing? I know I was in the room when you conceptualized that thing. I mean, but yeah, I mean, like I said, no pressure to anybody who comes after that generation in order to kind of build this new form of Hunt's. So yeah, guys, I'm still hanging out. I'm hanging out with Karabo and Julian out here. You know, I can still, I see they're still a bit cagey. You know, they're still chubby. You know what I mean? They're still chubby, but it's fine. It's fine. We've got them for the whole hour. They're going nowhere. I've got them booked. Don't you worry. But hit me up. Hit me up on Twitter if you have any questions, any comments for the guys. That's at Blaxem. It's at BLAXEM on Twitter and at CliffCentral.com on Twitter as well. And then remember, like I said, we have that WhatsApp number, right? That I don't feel like I say enough, you know. The WhatsApp number is 079-748-2090. It's not a phone call WhatsApp, once again. Get it right. Don't call us. No one likes a WhatsApp phone call. You know what I mean? Those things, if we don't have Wi-Fi, they don't work. So don't call us, but send us messages on that number as well. If you have any questions or any comments for the guys. And then we'll entertain the ones that we are allowed to. Because you know there's certain embargoes in place about certain things that we can and can't talk about. You know what I mean? I'll play moderator and see what I can and can't ask. But you guys both have like really, really colorful advertising past. And I mean, that word is interpretable in a couple of ways. But you guys have been through a few agencies before you landed up here, right? Julian, I mean, you were there. I mean, when the days when like there were agencies whose names we don't even know now, right? Leo Bennett. What?
Sonnenberg
Murphy, Redford
for
Sale,
the record,
Pete
I did not work there. For the record.
Okay, no, but your ad story. Where did that start? I thought you, Julian. No, don't pass the park, Julian. Come on.
I started at a little agency called Media Graphics.
Media they, Graphics.
They positioned
with
themselves.
An
yeah.
Yeah.
And after 3 months, I lost my job.
Okay.
Because the agency closed.
Oh, right.
So 3 months into
But you obviously you had nothing to do with that.
I got retrenched, so that was a magnificent start. But they reformed another agency.
Yeah.
Wait for it. It was called Hook, Line and Sinker.
There we go. I mean, when advertising was still good, guys. I mean, come on. We've lost that, guys. Hook, Line and Sinker. Yeah.
So all in all, it was about 18 months, and then I got a break at partnership in advertising, which is now Publicis.
Oh, okay.
I worked on Castle Light, Pringle, L'Oreal.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, and then I got my lucky break.
Yeah.
Hunter Scarris.
There we go.
Account manager, Standard Bank.
Yeah.
1996, I think.
Yes, that's a long time ago.
Were you born?
No. Where was I? I was in Soweto. I was in Soweto. I was plotting the wrong things. Yeah. So 1996. Eh? Yeah.
And what an incredible time to be part of that collective.
Yeah.
Really, really was special. I actually feel really blessed.
That's dope. That's really dope.
I was on Standard Bank for 2 years, then Nando's, BMW, Seychelles Tourism, United
That's
Cricket
insane,
Board.
Man.
And then looked after Tiger Brands.
Yeah.
And then this is a great story about how we don't really look after people's careers.
There we go.
So the guys in London at TBWA said, "Oh, this Jules guy, he looks like a decent suit. Can we ask him to come to London?" And Reg and John said, "No." Phone back in a year. And funnily enough, they did. And I went to look after PlayStation.
Look at that.
I was worldwide account director on PlayStation in London.
Guys, I mean, please, who says you can't do what you love and do advertising at the same time? I mean, that's fucking dope.
Yeah, it was amazing. But what was really special was everyone holds the London ad scene in such high esteem. And I went there and I was like, hey, South Africans are good. We are right up there.
That was going to be my question to you, actually, about, like, you know, we had a show where we spoke to Chris Gotts about, you know, when he was in the States and the difference between those two games. Did you find that when you got there, there was like a big shift that you had to make in order to fit in? Did you have to catch up? You know what I mean? To their ad game?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
You know, at the heart of everything, the digital revolution, the London ad scene, New York, is a powerful idea.
Yeah.
Is what we all chasing.
Yeah.
So I would say, but that's not a great idea. And like, you know, everyone can articulate and talk a good game. But at the heart of it, you know, a good idea is a good idea.
That's where
you come
that's
from.
Right.
And we learned that really well in South Africa.
Absolutely. I think that's really
And
really
I couldn't wait to get home to tell our colleagues and the people in our industry
that we've got it going on.
We are good.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. And you need to remember that out there, that we actually do still have it going on. And I think all the accolades that the South Africa has collected at all the international ad shows, and even just, you know, how great our work is, should make us believe that even more every day. So that's dope. And so you came back, and then you went back straight back to Hans.
Yeah, I wanted to go home. I also chatted to Network.
Oh, he calls it home, guys. You know, guys,
it's home.
You love it,
it's
please.
Home, yeah.
That's dope.
And there was a role to be the BD on Nissan.
Yeah.
And I was also chatting to Network. But then Nunu in Chingila called.
Yeah.
And offered me the job at Ogilvy.
Nothing wrong, Ogilvy. Shout out to the guys at Ogilvy. What's going on? Yeah.
So, I was MD of Ogilvy for 8 years.
Sure.
And had an amazing time there.
Yeah, really, that's special. When we played football together.
Yeah.
And you chased me around.
I chased you a lot.
Yeah, but we won't get into that one now. Anyway, but that's dope. And then after Ogilvy. No, wait, you went somewhere else before you went to Hans. Yes.
Malinlo.
Yeah. They're now in that FCB building now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, at Pin Mill Farm, it's not the FCB building.
That's your home.
Can you wait? Can I know what's going on with you? What are you doing? Please. Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. So you were at Malinlo for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you went to Hans. Then you went to home. Ah, guys, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, Karabo, I think, like I said, I mean, I mentioned earlier that, you know, there's a whole history that comes all the way from St. David's, but we're not going to start there because we don't have that much time. The show's only an hour. You know what I mean? Tell us about your ad journey. You know what I mean? Like, so when I bumped into you at the Lurie's in Sunset, you know, I think I was about 5 at that time. You know what I mean? Like, where did it all start for you?
Well, I was lucky because I kind of knew Wing from school.
Oh, nothing wrong. The great Wing Wing. Nothing wrong.
So he was my senior at school.
Yeah.
And he got me into the FCB training program.
Oh, okay.
So myself, Mo... Sylvester.
Yeah. Sylvester Chauke, yeah. Of
DNA.
DNA, yeah, that's right.
So all three of us started on this program.
Yeah.
And I think I was there for about 2 years or so.
Yeah.
And then whilst I was there, I kind of got the client bug.
Yeah.
And there was this interest, you know, CELSI just launched.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go be part of launching this.
For those of you guys who don't know, the client bug means I wanted more money. Yeah. I realized that there's a place where they're giving out more money.
And work-life balance.
Yeah. And I can go home and play my PlayStation. Yeah.
So I went to go work on this new brand that hit South Africa.
Yeah.
But I hated it, and I lasted 9 months there because I wanted to go back into the industry.
Yeah, yeah. You had too much money.
What did I do?
Too much
Then I started my own agency.
Oh, yeah?
Because, I was like moonlighting.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
As we do.
Yeah, as well done. Hey.
So I ran that business for about 4 years or so.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah. And
what was it called?
It was called Continuum.
Hey, guys, you know what, guys? You must never underestimate the power of a name. You know what I mean? Or the power of the process of coming up with a name.
But no one could spell it because it had a U-U-M.
Yeah, yeah.
So
there was a Y in there. So Continuum.
No, because I always had to say U-U.
Yeah.
U-U.
Oh, but if you had launched that now, you know what I mean? Because you would have to put in the B-E.
Yeah.
It would be Continuum. My Continuum.
Continuum.
Yeah, exactly.
Guys, watch out for the launch of Continuum, a subsidiary of the Handlers Carriers Group, coming to a shopper market and store near you. Yeah, yeah, carry on. Yeah.
So we had a good run there, worked on lots of stuff with Kaiser Chiefs, NAFCOC,
right.
Sanlam, so it was pretty cool. And then I ran into a lady called Anne Newrock at Grey.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and she kind of said, you know, I have an opportunity for you to work on the Nokia business at the time.
Oh, right.
Nokia was like massive.
Yeah.
One of the biggest advertisers at the time.
Yeah.
And but why I went there was because she said it's an African role. And to work on Face of Africa, Nokia Face of Africa.
Oh, right. I wasn't sure what African role meant for a second there.
So you can imagine.
Yeah. Like, no, the good fun.
Nokia Face of Africa,
good
working
fun.
On that, project manager throughout 18 markets or 12 markets.
So you spent a lot of time on the continent.
I spent lots of time on the continent. What happened after that? Then after that, we lost the Nokia business.
Right.
And as agencies do, when you lose an account, you lose people that are working on it.
That's right.
The two go hand in hand. And then I freelanced for a little bit. And then I met a guy called Atu Aful, who ran Ogilvy Africa.
Okay.
Then I went there. That's actually where I met
Julian.
Jules.
Yeah.
I ran Ogilvy Africa for, I think, about 4 or 5 years. Worked on stuff like SAB.
Right.
On the BP account on 2010, activated that through the content.
Ah, right. I remember that campaign. The campaign with taxi drivers and the.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's dope. Yeah, that was dope. I remember that. Yeah.
And then SAB as well.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. And I also did a massive rebrand of Vodafone in Ghana.
Ah.
With Tete and Z.
Nothing wrong, Tete and Z. Nothing wrong, Portray.
So that was quite interesting. I worked on that. And then I kind of wanted to go back and because I was doing a lot of stuff in the continent for about 8 years, I wanted to come back into the local ad scene.
Yeah.
So I got an opportunity to go to McCann as the MD.
Right.
And I think it was 2012.
Yeah.
That was a great challenge because essentially, I mean, you know, we had to revive the business.
Yeah.
It was small. It had gone through through many hands.
Yeah, many iterations.
Many changes. So I was there for about I think 4.5 years.
Wow.
Good run.
That long, eh?
Yeah, it was quite some time. Had a good run, learned a lot.
Yeah.
But you know, I was always questioning what's next. Because you know, in the industry, sometimes it feels like you're doing the same
business
as usual.
Yeah.
So I was kind of questioning where I wanted it to be. And then for some way, somehow, I got a call from John Hunt.
Yeah.
And
Listen to that. Every now and then, people out there get a call from John Hunt. There are people who are going to live and die not having gotten a call from John Hunt. Yeah. And yeah, then I just got a call from John Hunt. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. And then we met a couple of times. But I think what drew me to Hunt was just this whole thing about, you know, what does 20th century business look like?
Right.
What does 20th century agencies look like?
Yeah.
And what they wanted to do was saying, he basically said they were world class back in the day, and they basically want to replicate that. Going forward,
yeah.
So that was it was an amazing challenge.
That's fantastic
for me to jump on, and also it wasn't going to be business as usual.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so yeah, that's what brought me there.
So what are your guys' capacities there? You know, and like, you know, because I mean, it feels like there's a lot weighing on your shoulders. But I mean, after you guys tell me your stories, I'm like, these shoulders will be fine, man. These guys have been everywhere; they're going to be just fine. These guys. But like, what are your capacities? And like what are the difference in roles? Because you know, like these things are hard for me to decipher. You know, like I just go to, you know, but what is this guy going to do? What's the other guy going to do? You know what I mean? So what are your guys' roles at Hunt now?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people in their minds, because you wear that, okay, you are X, you are Y. You know, I think for us, especially saying that, you know, the agency is so big, the opportunity is even bigger.
That's right.
So I don't think one person can actually evangelize that thing.
That's right.
You
That's
know,
right.
So I think it's a collective mix of both our different skill.
Yeah.
I think we complement each other.
Yeah.
You know, so I would say, you know, I don't know, we just work it out, we get things done, and you know,
really
it just falls into place as we put these building blocks.
Yeah. Something will come up, and Karabo D, you run with that, with this.
I think that's great because obviously just to go back to the point about agencies having to change the way they do stuff and everything that we do, that it also has to kind of, it has to start almost internally in us understanding that we're now arriving at another era of what we do. You know, if we still operated as people who make print ads, stings and squeeze bags and TV ads, then we're kind of, the train's essentially going to leave us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we have to find a new way to get into it so that we can deliver a new product to the client.
Yeah.
Well, an evolved client product to the client.
Yeah.
So that's amazing, guys. That's cool. So you said earlier that you guys have collapsed kind of what used to be Tequila and into Hunt. You're nodding, but you're not saying yes.
It was Tequila, which became Dan Digital Arts Network.
Ah, okay.
And Integer, which is a specialist
Integer.
Shopper retail promotional agency. And created one agency, and the response has been phenomenal.
Yeah,
our people are ready for it. They want to take that leap.
That's
and really
cool.
Embraced it incredibly well.
That's fantastic. I like that. I like that a lot. I've already gotten one or two tweets from people. Mr. Tumiso Mabusela from Botswana says, it's G-Man the Adman time. Oh, you got that right. And he says, shout out to Karabo, awesome dude that so fans, you know, even across the street there. so huge shout out to that. And another guy here, Mr. Mabutu Zege, says that it's great to hear that Hunt is revamping. So it's really cool because I feel like everyone feels like they have a relationship with Hunt. So I mean, you talk about the Nando's campaigns from up front and all that. Like, it's almost like everyone takes ownership of, you know, what's coming up, what's happening to Hunt now, and what's the next step. So I think that's really cool, and it's a great thing that you guys have obviously built up until now, you know, so that's dope.
Yeah.
But now, you know, going into the future, and then we talk about this 2018 monster that I love talking about because, you know, I love that I get the feeling that the pressure, you know, it's just starting to tighten up around a bunch of agencies. How do you guys feel, or what is it? Maybe let me phrase it like this. How is it that you guys are prepping yourselves to be this integrated agency, right? Of the future and of the future of that represents South Africa as well. How what steps are you guys taking in that regard?
So there are three, I would say, huge themes for us,
yeah,
big focus areas. And in order to get there, we've already taken the first step.
That's right.
In making it one integrated team.
Yeah.
The one is transformation.
Yeah.
That's a big word.
Yeah. It's the word, sir.
You've got to embrace it. You've got to live it. You've got to believe in it.
Yeah.
You got to stay absolutely focused on the work.
Yeah.
Because that is the answer to everything.
That's right.
When you're doing great work, everyone wants to be part of that.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
Your relationships with the client Is in a good place when you're doing good work.
Yeah,
you attract the best talent. It's the answer to everything.
That's great. So
stay absolutely focused on the work, and keep reinventing. So we talk about ourselves as a radically open creative collective.
That's right.
The third theme.
Okay, cool.
And there's so many slashies around us. So many talented people.
Yeah.
Look at this guy. You know, he runs an agency. He's got a radio show. But we need them, and we've adapt to.
To the changing creative and to the changing account person and to the changing everyone.
Yeah, so.
I agree with that. I think that's really, really dope. I mean, you bring up a really, really great point where I remember in the beginning of this transformation conversation, people, I used to hear this absurd thing about how, but I mean, like, if we just transform, does that mean that the quality of the work is going to change? Because now we are, you know, and I've always thought that, yes, that's such a bullshit conversation, especially because, you know, we're communicating to people who need people to communicate to the masses, and the masses are not in the agency. You know what I mean? So, yeah. And how have you guys run the internal conversations about that? You know, like, about, like, have there been internal conversations about, guys, we have to, you know, like in some room when you guys closed the door and said, guys, okay, we have to now, you know, accelerate this thing. How did you guys manage that conversation?
Yeah, I mean, we have, obviously there are formal conversations around that happen at various, at like exco levels, if I can say that. And I think in those conversations, it's about the science of transformation.
That's right.
You know, so you have to do the pillars, you have to do the governance.
That's right.
And all that kind of stuff. And what I think is next for us is to, you know, create an environment conducive.
That's right.
To dealing with this. I mean, I just came back from the ACA, and that's a lot of, you know, and Ivan actually presented to us.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of the theme or the takeout from it, you know.
Yeah.
Let's have these conversations. Let's not be too scared to deal
and
with
tough,
it.
And they're tough chats, but you know, we have to have
them. Because, yeah, because transformation is complicated, you know.
Yeah.
It's got so many layers. And and everyone has a role to play, from the junior person who's briefing someone or who's looking for a new supplier, to the executive actually doing the deal. So everyone has a role to play in it.
That's dope.
And it has to be habitual. It has to happen on a daily basis.
That's right.
And that's where you'll affect change.
I think that's really, really dope. I think that's cool, man. It feels like you guys have, like, a very well thought through approach to this entire thing. You know what I mean? And I feel like you're right. The science of it needs to be gotten right as well. You know, like, it can't just be lip service of, yeah, you know what? Because I think the lip service stuff is what has been happening for a long time. Just like, I will get a studio, we'll fit it with guys, black guys, can just keep going, my man, how do you say this in a nice, funky, black way? You know what I mean? To going into the science of it and actually getting it right.
Yeah.
But I mean, overall, I mean, it sounds like you guys have kind of got it right, but, like, overall, what do you guys feel like as an industry, right, we should be doing better? You know what I mean? Like, is it about attracting more talent? Is it about not losing talent? Because at the same time, like, I feel like there's also a level at which black account execs, black creatives, just leave the industry.
Yeah.
You know, like the man who went to CLC. You know what I mean? You kind of at some point went, ah, you know what? I feel like maybe I need other opportunities. Is there a way? What do you think we're doing? We could be doing better as an industry to retain talent and to attract more black talent.
For me, I think it goes back to the work.
Yeah.
You know, if you as an industry are creating amazing work that resonates, and, you know, you were talking about what are the conversations internally.
Yeah.
There's no debate. When people present ideas in a review, you just go,
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's just, you can feel it. You can see it.
It would be great, though, to get to that place where in every boardroom, as soon as someone starts to say, and then after they pour the tomato sauce, they dance. Then someone says, no, they will not dance because we are more than that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And you're right. So I mean, if that's the case, then
that's what will attract people to the industry. There are a lot of very bright, very creative people who are looking to us to the industry. And I think that's where we're falling short.
Yeah.
It's not so much about the programs to attract people into the industry. I mean, my son's just started at FADA at UJ.
Doing
graphics. And there are lots of people interested in the industry. But it's whether you want to take the leap. You know, if you're not seeing work that inspires you, then it's not an industry for me. And I look around and I wish I looked around and said, gee, I wish we made that ad. But there's not a lot of that work.
Boom! That's right. Shots fired. That's cool. But I like hearing that. I like hearing that because it challenges all of us. You know. And it's I think it's what Amit Tilly said in his article as well. Like, the work will become vanilla if we don't commit to a cause and not commit to the work. You know what I mean? And yeah, that's very interesting because, you know, I've seen a lot of things as well on TV now. I mean, this is not, I'm not going directly at the insurance ads, but I think I've seen a lot of things on TV now that make me go, wow. There was a review process, yeah. I mean, there were people in the meeting who signed this off. You know, where were they? You know what I mean? Did they sign it off at the Jolly Roger? You know, so I mean, it's interesting. But I mean, Karabo, maybe I want to ask you more directly about, I mean, we know a bunch of people who have come up in the game and at some point have fallen off, right? Yeah. And some of them, by falling off, I mean, not kind of stayed in the mainstream of the ad agencies and kind of opened up their own things. And some of them just kind of went, I'm done with being on this side of the game. I need to go and be the client.
Yeah.
Why do you think that happens? And do you think that we should be worried about that? Or should we just say, it's fine. We've got others coming through the system. We're going to be fine.
Look, I mean, I think a lot of advertising people or a lot of people, black, white, whatever,
yeah,
get to a point where they say, that's it for me.
I'm done. Yeah.
You know, I think the people that stay have like a crazy love
for the game.
For the game, you know, it just keeps on, it just pulls you, it consumes you. And that's the stuff that like pushes you like at 4 in the morning when you're there working on pitches and stuff like that.
I can know, so, 4 in the morning.
So I think advertising people are just, you know, they're an anomaly.
Yeah.
You know,
but do you think that happens in other industries as well? Because I've always had this question about, is advertising like a stopover industry? You know what I mean? Because there's a bunch of people who kind of go, I've done it, and they reach a ceiling from, and I could be wrong, sooner than other people in other industries. So like, you never hear of accountants saying, and then after 30 years I said, that's it, I'm done. No, in fact, they do say after 30 years. They don't say after 10 years then I thought I'm done with accounting, I want to go now and do something else. Do you think it's unique to us, or is that happening in other industries?
Well, I don't know. I mean my experience is that maybe in advertising you get to a point where, I mean, as maybe from a creative person, you're always just doing all this work, but you like, you never actually see it. It's not something that you can touch and feel and always go back to.
That's right.
You know, maybe
you
get to a point where the expression of your creativity needs a different outlet, you know.
Got
so
you,
maybe that's
you.
Why, as a creative, you want to be a radio personality. I don't know.
I knew it. I saw that on the corner. I saw it coming. No,
you know. But I mean, I just to go back to my point, I just think, you know, and that's why we're always harping on about, you know, what's new.
You know?
And I don't think I think the biggest problem with the industry is we haven't attracted non-advertising people into the industry.
Boom.
So
I think that's absolutely right.
You know
absolutely
what I mean?
Right,
so how do we do that? You know, how do we get architects or comedians or painters or whatever it is to come and choose advertising, but at a senior level, not as interns bottom up? And I think that's a problem. That's the challenge that we face.
That's the model you guys are talking about, right? Where you're kind of going, what other types of businesses can contribute to the big idea becoming greater?
Yeah.
You know, so where it's not a thing in Squeezebag, where an architect comes up with an idea that actually solves the business problem, as opposed to us saying, okay guys, we're just going to give you a radio campaign and run, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And I think that's absolutely right. But I mean, as you were talking, I remembered other people who, advertising has a few people from finance who just said, no, that's it, I'm done. I mean, I think of Cheza. Shout out Cheese. Right? And finance had it today with Cheza and then he left. And I think of Maputi, who's a client side as well, right?
Yeah.
She was in finance and then at some point she just said, no, enough. You know, so it is actually an attractive industry when we package it as such. You know what I mean? So I think that's really dope. Guys, I'm still hanging out with these guys. I mean, I feel like they've loosened up. You know what I mean? You know, we got to some of the cool stuff eventually. But yeah, hit me up. That's at Blaxem. It's at BLAXEM on Twitter, or at CliffCentral.com on Twitter as well. And then hit me up on that WhatsApp number as well. And we'll ask the guys anything you want. So 079-748-2090. So that's awesome. But now tell me, guys. I mean, like I said, Hunt has a history of people sleeping at the office. I mean, you're talking now about, you know, new models. Does this mean beds? and you know, is that what's going to happen there?
Yeah, there's still lots of beds. Yeah. All our couches are sleeper couches.
Oh man, but that's amazing. That's really, really cool. So I mean, I'm trying very hard to skirt around, you know, some new businesses that you guys might have acquired recently. But is that going to go? Does this mean you guys are going to have to expand now? Are you guys going to have to, like, you know, go in higher? You know, which takes me back to another point you made earlier about our model, right? When you get big accounts, you have to hire a whole bunch of people, and then you lose one. And we have to let go of a bunch of people. You know, how, I mean, let's start with, are you guys going to have to hire a lot? And then after that, I want to know, how are we going to change that, guys? How are we going to be less volatile as agencies so that we don't get to the place where every time a client coughs, I have to let go of two people? You know what I mean? Yeah? No? Yes?
It's,
no?
It's always going to be volatile.
Yeah?
You think so? It's the nature of our business.
You think so?
Yeah, because it's built around the accounts that you have partnerships with.
Yeah.
If that changes, if budgets go up and down, if they decide to move on, you know, that's the nature of the game. But I often say, you know, people talk about the state of the economy and is it booming and how's the ad industry being affected? I'm like, guys, in our business, we don't really have an excuse. Someone's spending money. Go fetch it.
Yeah.
You know, so if some client's budget.
I told you guys about this, man. Give me an instruction and he wants to get it out. Someone is spending money. Go fetch it. Julian. Hey,
he's got he's got four kids. So exactly. That's where the training comes from.
School fees.
Shots fired.
That's nice. But I mean, do you think that's what's going to change, like the way we do stuff to like a project to project basis, as opposed to like those big retainers? Because a lot of people have also told me like retainers kind of like they enslave you. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you kind of go now I've got like this 2 year plan with this guy. Now I've got these people working with me, used to a salary for 2 years.
Yeah.
And now I can't guarantee them like at the, you know what I mean? Like do you think that's gonna create like a model that is like almost like a hybrid model?
Yeah, I mean, everyone is crying for change.
Yeah.
You know, we're crying for change, clients are crying for change, and even from a costing perspective, you know, I think a lot of clients feel, you know, trapped by a retainer, or they don't see the value. And all a retainer is, it's taking the cost of the project and just dividing it by 12. So it's not like you're not doing anything in down months. It's just all factored in.
Yeah. And it's not like you're saying, okay, fine, you're locked in now, Ricky Rick.
Yeah.
It's not like you're saying that. You know what I mean? It's
that's, right. That's how much it costs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a reality. But I think what the industry will eventually do is find ways of making stuff, you know, products.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that's dear to all of us at the agency is this whole innovation piece.
That's right.
You know, how do we make products that can live beyond ourselves?
Yeah, right.
So
right.
It's a mix of that and advertising.
It's exciting times, guys. I mean, did you guys hear how they just dodged that whole thing about them expanding because of a new piece of business? I mean, I hope I'm not the only person who caught that. But fine, let me ask it this way, guys. Are you guys going to be hiring soon then?
Yes, we are hiring.
Are you hiring right now?
We want some amazing people.
Yeah.
So please, guys.
In what kind of industry are these people going to be working? You know what I mean? Like, what kind of work are they going to be working on?
We want superstars, unicorns, rock stars.
Yeah, yeah. But do they need to have a specialization in any kind of like banking or like what kind of industry would they have had to work with before?
Look, I mean, we have a saying where we say we want T-shaped people.
Ah.
So,
Neo Matsau was here talking about these T-shaped people as well, like, 2 weeks ago. Neo Matsau of Bamboo. Yeah, he was here talking about these T-shaped people.
So he stole our saying.
Look, I'm not going to talk about stealing. It's not that kind of show.
I'm joking.
There is a show about law later. You can talk about copyright law then.
So I think your point about hybrid model is good. So it's a hybrid model, T-shaped people.
Yeah.
So
hybrid people and in the hybrid
flexibility.
Model.
Yeah. It's about being flexible.
Yeah.
And we spoke about the slashies.
Yeah.
So there are people interested in saying, I'll commit for 3 months or I'll work on a particular project. We're also very excited about the innovation unit that we've built. Some really interesting people. One of them worked at CSIR, so again being porous to people outside of our industry.
That's dope. That's really, really cool.
It's really exciting.
So guys out there, Hunter's Garage is hiring. I mean, they won't give us too much details now, but I mean, they're hiring. Give them a phone call, hit them up in an email. They have a nice building there, close to Discovery. Go there, knock on their door, chat to them about what's going on.
Come for a drink Friday, 4 o'clock every Friday.
Yeah, come for a drink. They're going to be celebrating a new account win soon. But
done that already.
Oh, they've done that. They've done the party already. We just didn't get an invite. But yeah, man, guys, you know, these guys walked in here. And I told them we're going to be chatting for an hour. And they said, an hour? And you don't realize that the hour actually flies by. And we're almost done. We're almost out of time. But I mean, if there's anything that you guys want people out there to kind of take out about where Hunter Scars is going. There's one thing, and I'm going to ask both of you this question. There's one thing that you want people to kind of go, and that's why I want to go to Hunt. What would that be?
I think we said it earlier on, we want to be this radically open creative collective.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we touched on it slightly, like recently, I don't know if you saw the baby bot thing.
Oh yeah, with Loisa Matinga.
Yeah, with Loisa Matinga.
I thought that, you know what, to be honest with you, I thought that was dope.
That's freaking dope.
I thought that was really, really dope. So congratulations.
Give us that horn.
Yeah, I get it, they took the horn away.
Why?
Timo Tai said you allowed only two horns.
Man.
Timo Tai said I'm only allowed two horns. No, I'll be honest with you. I actually thought that was really, really dope. And for me, it exemplifies that new thinking.
Exactly.
That we keep talking about.
So that's what we're talking about.
Right.
It's like this new thing, this new collective, everyone must come play.
Yeah.
And let's just do like amazing in the process.
That's dope. That's dope. I'm glad you didn't say make beautiful because someone else has taken it. Yeah.
I said do.
Do amazing, not make beautiful. Yeah. And Julian, is that it? You echo the sentiments completely.
Radically open, creative collective, doing phenomenal work that's iconic, that people talk about in 20 years time. That's our focus.
And that's what's up, guys. I mean, I think it's pretty clear the guys want to do amazing things and want to essentially go back. You know, I don't know if you guys, how many of you know about the Zimbabwean, you know, like the campaign that won everything that exists on the planet. And I think it would be great for anybody to be surrounded by the energy that made that kind of work, you know, to be surrounded by the place that is capable of stuff like that. And then going forward into a place where that can be anything. It can be a baby pot. It can be anything, you know what I mean? So I think it's exciting times. Like I said, hit them up, guys. Go there for a drink. Julian guaranteed you a drink when you go there. Go there, have a drink with the cats. But I think, gentlemen, huge shout out to you guys for coming out today. You know, you guys handled this really, really well. It felt like, you know, I was worried it was going to be rehearsed, but it wasn't. You know what I mean? I was worried he was going to say, okay, cool. Luckily, I asked Karabo then. What do you think, Karabo? You know what I mean? Like they used to do in those R&B songs back in the day. Remember Jodeci? Like sometimes Casey would just say, Joe! So huge shout out to you guys for coming out. And congratulations on everything that's happened. And good luck going forward. I think the way you guys speak about, you know, the scientific approach to, well, the thorough approach to transformation, including the scientific side of it and kind of the straight up work side of it, is can only breed dope stuff. So I think congratulations to you guys. Well done. I'm going to release you guys now so you can go to your meetings, the ACA, that type of thing. You know what I mean? But yeah, guys, it's been another amazing show. I think another inspirational show that makes you understand the many dynamics of the industry. And what amazes me is that you never get a sense of like what goes on in that building. And I hope that today you kind of got a sense of what the guys at Hunter Scars are up to and what their leadership is up to and what's on their minds, because I feel like that's also, it's important to kind of have the soul of the agency come and kind of pay itself out here in the Ricky Rick way. So I think well done to you guys. It's been another amazing show, guys. Get the podcast, it's on cliffcentral.com. it's actually going to be up in the next couple of minutes. Get it, play it for your moms. They actually didn't swear much except for the first minute. Get almost swore in the first minute. You can fast forward that first part and then you can play it for your moms. And then play it around the studio. Play it on your way to meetings. Play it on your way back from meetings. And when your meetings get cancelled, play the podcast. And you can also listen back to a whole bunch of other podcasts that have been inspirational in a lot of ways. But yeah, it's been another great week of advertising. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other, guys, and take care of those briefs. And like I always say, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. Boom!
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-G-G-G-Man, the ad man.
Well, fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
With G-G-G-Man, the ad man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty? Huh?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-G-G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.